The series that we've been looking at as we've gone through our services this term has been little looked at books of the Bible. And as you've heard from Jill, Nahum is the one we're looking at, which is an Old Testament book, and Brian's going to read to us from it.
Reading consists of a selection of verses from all three chapters of the book of Nahum. Bible pages 9 through 7 to 939. Chapter 1, verses 1 to 8 and verse 15. The Lord's anger against Nineveh. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord takes vengeance and is filled with wrath. The Lord takes vengeance on his foes and vents his wrath against his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, but great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. His way is in the whirlwind and the storm, and clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and dries it up. He makes all the rivers run dry. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the blossoms of Lebanon fade. The mountains quake before him, and the hills melt away. The earth trembles at his presence, the world and all who live in it. Who can withstand his indignation? Who can endure his fierce anger? His wrath is poured out like fire. The rocks are shattered before him. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. But with an overwhelming flood, he will make an end of Nineveh. He will pursue his foes into the realm of darkness. Look, there on the mountains, the feet of one who brings good news, who proclaims peace. Celebrate your festivals, Judah, and fulfill your vows. No more will the wicked invade you. They will be completely destroyed. Chapter 2, verses 1 and 13. Nineveh to fall. An attacker advances against you, Nineveh. Guard the fortress. Watch the road. Brace yourselves. Marshal all your strength. I am against you, declares the Lord Almighty. I will burn up your chariots in smoke, and the sword will devour your young lions. I will leave you no prey on the earth. The voices of your messengers will no longer be heard. Chapter 3, verse 1, verses 8 to 10, and verses 18 and 19. Woe to Nineveh! Woe to the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims. Are you better than Thebes, situated on the Nile, with water around her? The river was her defense, the waters her wall. Cush and Egypt were her boundless strength. Put and Libya were among her allies. Yet she was taken captive and went into exile. Her infants were dashed to pieces at every street corner. Lots were cast for her nobles, and all her great men were put in chains. King of Assyria, your shepherds slumber, your nobles lie down to rest. Your people are scattered on the mountains with no one to gather them. Nothing can heal you. Your wound is fatal. All who hear the news about you clap their hands at your fall. For who has not felt your endless cruelty. Here endeth the prophecy concerning Nineveh. Thanks be to God.
Yeah, looking at books in the Bible, I just dropped everything that we don't normally look at. I did consider suggesting everybody should pick up a Bible as they came in and then asked you to find Nahum, which might have been interesting. I also did think when I was asked to speak on this, who had I offended? You know, I have found that as I travel around, you know, I do a little bit of preaching in various places, and I discovered one, it's very interesting, that if you go to a church which doesn't have a minister but is looking for one, they always ask you to preach on the difficult subjects to save the minister, I think. So conflict was one of them. Oh. Another one was giving. I mean, that always gets everybody really happy and really excited and so on. But we've got Nahum here nevertheless. And I have to say that in reading around about it, I mean, there's even been suggestions. Somebody actually suggested that the reason the book of Nahum is in the Bible is to give an example of a false prophet. Because they didn't like what was being said. And I have to say, what is being said is not comfortable, is it? I mean, did you feel comfortable about it? I felt the temperature going down as Jill did her talk and as we had the reading and then as the prayers. This is heavy stuff, isn't it? Really. So I think it's important, though, that we do look carefully at Nahum because it has an important place in our overall thinking about what God is doing, what God is about, and so on. And it's a vitally important thing to put this book where it needs to be. And that's firstly in its own time. Secondly, in the Bible, in the context of the wider Bible. And then in our setting, what does it actually mean for us? Nahum was a prophet in 600 odd BC. The background, as you'll probably know, and I'm no archaeologist or historian, but essentially of the great empires of the Middle East, Assyria was particularly powerful at this particular time. Eventually it would give way to other empires, the Babylonians, the Medes, and all the rest of it, and so on. Probably we think that Nahum was preaching somewhere between 621 BC and 612 BC. That's simply because he mentions Thebes, which fell in 621, and he mentions Nineveh falling, which fell in 612. It was going to happen then. So somewhere in that time, that's where he was. So what was its message in its time? And it's important to hear this. Essentially, Assyria was an empire that really you could not consider a more evil bunch of people. They really were very, very unpleasant. They plundered and they lied without any mercy whatsoever. They destroyed the economic work of the nations. You look at those verses, you heard the readings, you look at the passages, read the whole book. Doesn't take long and you'll see what's going on there. They were a nation who simply were endlessly cruel, and that notion of cruelty was particularly important. That was what they were known for. This is a picture of one of their emperors. This is Ashurnasipal II. All right, I'm going to read to you some of the things that he had written up on various monuments, and you know, feel free to close your ears at certain places. He captured a city once, and he said this: I built a pillar over against his gate, and I flayed all the chief men, and I covered the pillar with their skins. You know, someone's flaying is basically skinning them, taking their skin off. Okay? On another occasion, at another place, he said this: their men, young and old, I took prisoners. Of some, I cut off their feet and hands. Of others, I cut off their ears and noses and lips. Of the young men's ears, I made a heap. Of the old men's heads, I made a minaret. I exposed their heads as a trophy in front of their city. The male children and female children, I burned in flames. hands, the city I destroyed and consumed with fire. That's what Nahum was against. That's the backdrop. That's what God was saying, this should not be happening. And there will be a recompense for it. I suppose in modern days anything close to this sort of behaviour is the Holocaust, really. And what happened then? Sadly, people down through the ages, nations have not learnt to heed what Nahum has said about what Assyria did. And Assyria was warned that it would one day fail and be destroyed, and indeed it was. So that's its message in its time. You see the context. I think that begins to make it look a bit different, doesn't it, in a sense. You can see why there was judgment and why punishment had to be. For this cruelty was abominable, literally abominable. An appalling way of treating people with arrogance and violence and lies and cruelty of all sorts. But what about its message in the Bible? And it's worth setting it in its proper context, because there are other messages in the scripture, and we need to hold the whole counsel of God together. So you look at Amos, and Amos calls for people for a heart religion slightly before Nahum was going on. And he was opposed to the sort of religion that was just show and so on. There was Micah, who called for a wholehearted faith and had a great tenderness of spirit and so on. Zephaniah warns that Judah itself will be judged. It wasn't just a case of all the other lot. If God's people didn't behave properly, then they will be judged too. He says that. And Jonah, as we've heard, proclaimed mercy for Nineveh. And they actually did change, but clearly later on that all changed back in a completely other direction. Nahum highlights that there is such a thing as judgment for what is wrong. I think in some ways in our modern age we don't like hearing that sort of thing. We like to be comfortable, don't we? We like to be pleasant. We like to hear good things. And that's fair enough. There's nothing wrong with that. But there is a judgment. God is not someone who will ignore the terrible and awful things that get done. There's a verse that says, God is not mocked. And sometimes people have used that in a very sort of foolish way of if someone who they don't like gets their comeuppance, they said, oh, God is not mocked. This is of a completely different order. And it needs to be heard, because I think our world needs to hear it in particular. And that's really where this passage has its impact for today. Because we need to hear that God does make demands and does have expectations of all nations and all rulers. We've heard about the fact that lots of nations having elections at the moment. We've also heard about the fact that lots of nations, not just the ones we pray for, but many more, are engaged in conflict of all sorts and are seeing immeasurable suffering. Nahum says God's not going to ignore that. God will not ignore that. God will demand some sort of recompense, some sort of response, some account is going to be made. That may be made in the things that happen. Nahum was saying, you know, Nineveh would fall. That may be some way of where the judgment will come. But come it will. Nahum said, God is all-powerful and slow in anger. It's important, therefore, to remember that power must not be misused. One of the messages of Nahum to the nations, to anybody with any sense of authority, power must not be misused. It's not there to satisfy individual whims. It's not there to build up people's egos. It's there in order to maintain societies in harmony, peace and goodness and love. That's what power is given. That's what authority is all about. It's not to be used to enable people to fill their bank accounts or to impress other people. It's there. God is the ultimate power, and he is slow in anger. And power's got to be used in the right way. And cruelty will be judged. Now, this was particularly important, as we've seen, in the context of Assyria. Appallingly cruel, as you heard, as I read those things, which were written by that man himself. Okay? Which he thought was okay. That's even worse, isn't it? that cruelty was something he thought was a good thing to do. God says no, cruelty of any sort, suffering inflicted on people for any reason, other than surgery and, you know, helping, that sort of stuff, okay. It will be judged. That's the point. It will be judged. God will not be silent about it. And he also goes on now that greed in economics, where people's resources are plundered and so on, that too will result in God's judgment. And Nahum talks about the merchants multiplying and then being blown away as rushing off as insects. God cares about how nations treat each other in economic terms. And he cares about people being exploited. And he cares about people being cheated. And he cares about people being treated as less than the dignified human beings he created them to be. And he will bring judgment. And lies from leaders will be judged. We have got a general election coming. This is something to bear in mind, because there is a tendency, isn't there, frankly, on all sides, try and present better pictures, try and put the other people down, and frankly, a lot of it turns out to be, we all know, after the election, it turns out to have been pack of lies. God says that will be judged. When people come canvassing you for your vote, maybe you might want to point them to Nahum. Well, no, I mean, you know, one of the things I've found that has disturbed me about how the whole business has been going on is that the politicians, they seem to be taking us for fools. There's no respect for us, that for the electorate. They think that we will believe everything they say, we will not question them, etc., etc. Let's not let that happen if we get the opportunity. Say that there are things that matter, that integrity matters, that honesty matters, that care for people matters, that probity matters in how things are done, in how economics is done and all the rest of it. And if you want to add at the end, and by the way, God will judge all of that. That might shake a few people. But anyway, well, that is up to you. And by the way, this is across all the parties, all right? It really is. So I'm not saying anything other than that, because I think it's important that we see lies, anything which, basically what lies are trying to do is tamper with reality. Tamper with what is. And that's incredibly dangerous. Because if you start tampering with what is, you'll end up with all sorts of damage and so on going on. So, okay, where do we go with all of this then? The positive things. Nahum says there is rescue for those who cling to God. He says that power does not overcome judgment. And if we look at one of the other prophets, because I think this is a key verse in the prophets and that we should always bear in mind, is Micah 6:8. He has shown all people what is good. God has shown all people what is good, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. If you want to tell the politician something, tell them that. Because that really is the heart of it. And what Nahum is another aspect of that, saying if you don't do that, you can expect terrible things to happen. Because this is the best way for living. This is what we've been meant to be. This is how God's created the world. The world ultimately is a world of morality. Because God will make sure it is, if human beings don't. There will be a reckoning on all that is evil. It's a bit sobering, isn't it? But justice is nothing unless there's a judgment. If people do wrong things and then the judge says, oh, go on. Go off, doesn't matter really. Doesn't matter the people you killed, doesn't matter the people you hurt, doesn't matter the companies you ruined. That wouldn't be justice, would it? There needs to be judgment, and there will be judgment. Matthew 12:36 says this, just to bring the New Testament into it, so you see it's there as well. Jesus saying, but I tell you that people will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. Now this comes a little bit more to home, doesn't it, actually? Every idle word is one of the translations of it. In other words, you and me, at the judgment, Jesus is going to say, well, why? What did you do? Why did you do that? That doesn't affect your salvation, by the way. No, okay, you'll be saved if you trust in Jesus. But it isn't that straightforward in that sense. You're still going to have to face him. I'm still going to have to face him. And goodness me, I'm going to be in trouble because I'm a preacher. Every word? Goodness me. I do think preachers will be, we're going to be in a bit of a pickle because we use words and sometimes we misuse them. And that's the danger. But there is a reckoning. And it's right that we concentrate on God's love and care and so on. And I preach that with fervour and I know the love of God in my own life and I know he loves us. But I also know that there is judgment to come. And we can't ignore that. This is a word to all. This really is a word to all. Because if you look at the world today, what do you see? What do you see? Warnings of judgment. There are millions of starving. There are hostages who've been taken and gathered. Some have escaped, but others haven't. Women are enslaved for sex. I was just been hit reading about that recently. In our country, nations bomb each other indiscriminately. Rulers oppress and lie in their own pockets. Lies are common currency in politics. I mean, goodness me. Surely there's got to be a judge for all that lot. That's what Nahum is saying. That's what he's saying. And that's the counterbalance he's putting into, as it were, our understanding of things. But it does mean that we need to put such things into practice again. We need to look at ourselves, okay? Obviously, that bit about every word. We need to think about that, because we're a bit slack sometimes. We think we can get away with all sorts of things. It's bad. But there are implications. I think for our prayers, thank Richard for his praying, because I think he focused on things that fit very well into this scenario. And we need to believe and practice our prayers that it will make a difference. That we can pray for justice. We can pray for truth. We can pray for honesty. And it will happen. I know it's hard to believe that sometimes. But prayer matters. It works when we put our minds to it and our hearts to it. And we trust that God will hear us. And Nahum says, yeah, God will hear you. That's really part of what he's implying, you know, this powerful but slow anger in God. He talked to him about these things that need something doing. The election, I think, yes, come on, we've got to think what must we ask of the parties? And we must ask that they do justly, love mercy and walk humbly with their God. They may not like the third bit, but the first two bits are definitely on the political agenda. And we should say, this is what the Christians want. This is what God wants, more importantly. And then there are all the big world issues that we have been praying for as well. And these are vitally important. And we should keep on praying. Because unless we do, and unless we engage sometimes in some of these, where we have opportunity through, I mentioned that business about women being enslaved for sex. There's a thing called the International Justice Mission. Some of you may know that. One of our ministers used to be chair of it, isn't anymore. But they work, they are lawyers who work to get people out of various slavery type things in this country, but also all over the country. We can be involved with that. We can give to that. We can pray for that. There's all sorts of aid agencies that we can engage with. There's mission agencies like BMS who are engaged in many of these sorts of justice things as well. We can be involved in our praying, in our giving, in our engaging with them, in our reading and so on. Because that will make a difference. At the end of the day, the judgment comes and a new heaven and a new earth is the result. God intends better. Judgment's not the end. God intends better, but judgment nevertheless is real, and we need to be people who plead with everyone, avoid that by going the way of God, because in that way, there is the way of hope and love and peace and joy. reality. Let's pray. Or let's just be quiet, really, for a moment to reflect on what we've heard and to perhaps quietly inquire of God, what does this mean for me? Father, you know our hearts and you hear our prayers. May they be acceptable in your sight, our God and our Redeemer. Amen.